I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Well, it's finally happening. I've been threatening for a few weeks now, but we're doing it. It's the whole show about a new cannabinoid, Delta 8 THC, and not only are we going to talk about it, my conversation today is with Jordan Lambs, the CEO of Moxie, a cannabis cultivator and manufacturer. Jordan is amazing and has a huge breadth of knowledge, and I was thrilled to find somebody who could actually talk about this because there just isn't much information on Delta 8 THC, right now anyway. I know I had a much better understanding of what it is and what it does after I spoke with Jordan, but that's not where this ends. I have actually just taken some Delta 8 THC. So after the interview, this is where I sit down to do the editing process, so it'll have some time to kick in and whatnot. I'm gonna let you know exactly how my experience was. And if you don't get an episode this week, then I guess you know what to tell my loved ones happened. So that's a joke, I'm not scared at all. But we'll see, and like I said, I'll tell you all about my experience after my conversation with Jordan Lambs. Perfect. And where are you talking to me from right now?
I am talking to you from Long Beach, California.
All right. But the weather's a little nicer there. So I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
It is hot today.
Oh, really? Well, then I want to hear
like
your complaint.
It's like 90, yeah.
No complaints out of you, sir.
None.
So, Jordan, I brought you on the show because we are now seeing Delta 8 THC sort of hitting a similar market to the CBD, CBN, CBG wellness market. And quite honestly, it's so new that I really don't know anything about it. And a lot of people have been asking questions. And I was actually really hesitant to even talk about it on the show because I didn't even know if it was legal. So why don't we just start, before we even get into what it is Delta 8 THC legal?
I think that probably depends on who you ask.
Okay.
You know, it's definitely coming up as an item for debate at the moment. You know, the argument amongst some law firms is that because it's being in this context that we're talking about now, derived as a byproduct of a process from CBD oil, that it's not derived from cannabis, quote
right.
unquote, and therefore it is legal. You know, chemically speaking, it's still THC. It's just not Delta 9 THC, which is the you know, most prevalent psychoactive compound that is, you know, derived from the consumption of cannabis
after
you heat it up. So, I think it's still up in the air.
So as far as like, I understand it, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but I live in Nebraska, which has some pretty strict cannabis laws, as you can imagine. And I'm pretty sure the law doesn't say, well, Delta 9 THC, that's the problem. That's what's illegal. And if you're caught with Delta 9 THC, you're going to jail, buddy, or whatever. I mean, it's all marijuana has been basically decriminalized in Nebraska for the most part. But I don't necessarily think the difference is between a Delta 8 and a Delta 9. Is that where the nebulous thing is kind of comes in right now?
That's, I think, the fact that it's a derivative of CBD in this context is kind of the, you know, the wedge with which some attorneys are trying to force their argument through.
Right.
You know, and that differentiation between Delta 9 versus Delta 8, you know, in some jurisdictions, it is delineated very specifically as still being considered THC. Yeah. So
okay.
It varies market to market.
Okay.
You know, particularly in more regulated markets where you actually have like licensed businesses that do cultivate and extract, they're more likely to specify. But in places where like decriminalization, those are usually kind of broad stroke legislations.
Right.
And so you don't always have that level of specificity.
Now, again, I'm not asking you to play a cop or a lawyer. These are strictly opinions here that we're talking about. But in other cases, and I've spoken to not too long ago, actually, I spoke to a guy that works in a lab in Oregon, and they do a lot of testing to make sure that what is actually in the bottle of CBD is in the bottle of CBD. And he was telling me, like, one of the things that he's noticed with Delta 8 THC, because they are taking the CBD and affecting it chemically and changing it into a different chemical, that in and of itself could be illegal as well. Based on laws that were made to stop people from, say, buying cough medicine and turning it into like meth or something. Is there any worry about that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and what it reminds me of is the early days of the California medical market before we had regulation. You know, it was very specific in the state statute as well as at the federal level that manufacturing of cannabis products using solvents was illegal.
Right.
And so there was a contingent of attorneys, again, that kind of took the position that CO2, because it's not, you know, alcohol or like, you know, a solvent by the, you know, maybe the more traditional sense, that it didn't qualify for that. Now, it was a bit of a, you know, well, maybe more than a bit of a loophole that they were trying to exploit.
I was going
to
say.
But they got a lot of buy-in across the industry in that thinking, because it was fairly, you know, dominant law firms, at least in the space at the time, that were suggesting this. And so it actually led to the proliferation of CO2 extraction throughout the industry. That coupled with the, you know, the scientific community really does use supercritical and subcritical CO2 extraction in a lot of different laboratory applications.
Okay, but, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you.
It didn't stop people from getting prosecuted.
I don't mean to interrupt you. That's seriously the reason why CO2 extraction took off the way it did?
It's definitely one of the big contributing factors.
No
yeah.
kidding.
You know, the flip to that, though, is that if you talk to any analytical chemist or, you know, real organic chemist that's got a lot of lab experience, supercritical and subcritical CO2 is usually the go-to methodology.
Right.
That being said, you know, if you're a real consumer of cannabis products, unless you're using very hard to find subcritical CO2 extractions, you're likely to have a version of a product that is vastly inferior, subjectively, of course, to what a hydrocarbon extraction or even a solventless extraction or water extraction, as they call solventless, would produce. And even then on the objective side, you know, CO2, you're forcing a physical reaction that's just like ripping everything off the plant.
Right.
Whereas hydrocarbon, it's like nature's lock and key. Cannabinoids, terpenes, those are hydrocarbons. So that's like a perfect chemical reaction where you're only getting what you want and your post-processing is far less. Whereas with CO2, you get everything at the kitchen sink.
Gotcha.
You know, depending on the parameters of the extraction.
Okay. So let's get into it. Delta 8 THC. Give me like a broad spectrum, zoomed out, you know, view. What is it?
It's just another cannabinoid. It is a tetrahydrocannabinol, so it's a THC molecule, but Delta 8 is just a different isomer of THC. And oftentimes it's found not necessarily as a degradative product of Delta 9 THC, but oftentimes in certain processes where there's a lot of heat and pressure used to do distillation or various types of processing, you end up potentially oftentimes by accident converting some of that Delta 9 into Delta 8.
Okay.
And then there was over the last couple of years, a trend where it was being done intentionally. Now, not intentionally because people wanted the Delta 8 outcome, but in the process that you use to really, really tighten the fraction, as it's called in chemistry, the fraction of the chemicals that you're trying to remove,
right,
as you tighten that down and make it more pure, you're putting it under really extreme conditions. And what people were shooting for has been become to known as water clear. So it's a cannabis oil that literally in a jar looks almost as clear as water, even the way it refracts light.
Sure.
You know, there's no weird effect to the way that you see through the product. And that being said, in doing that process, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, you end up causing that conversion from Delta 9 to Delta 8. And then from there, you know, I think that's what kind of spurred the isomerization is really a thing that we can do with these cannabinoids. What if you can take CBD, which is abundant and cheap,
right,
and turn it into something of higher value?
So this is a byproduct. It's not something that occurs naturally. It's actually a byproduct.
It can occur naturally.
Okay.
So here's the thing about even Delta 9, right? Delta 9 is an activated version of the acidic form of THC. So if you were to take a raw cannabis flower that's loaded up with THC, it's not usually much Delta 9. It's not usually activated. It's in its acidic form. And when you heat that flower up, either in a joint or in the oven making an edible or in a bowl, when the flame hits it, you're doing what's called decarboxylating the THC, taking that acidic carboxyl chain and removing it, turning it into the active ingredient.
My favorite thing to do with
it. Psychoactive. Yeah, exactly. And it's not dissimilar here. That being said, it could occur naturally. It's just very rare. So similarly to, for, you know, decades, nobody did anything with cannabis except for to get max THC.
Sure.
So even for a while, CBD strains were not, you know, very available. And it took, you know, several years of the CBD industry kind of growing into its own for that to become a readily available genome, where it occurs in high concentrations. And similarly, now you see people moving into areas of CBG, CBV, THCV, trying to get those expressions of minor cannabinoids and turn them into majors.
Right.
But Delta 8 is not one that has been bred for that. So there's not a lot of, you know, maybe even any, to my firsthand knowledge, occurrences of it naturally in the available spectrum of strains that exist.
Gotcha. So when you take regular THC cannabis and you smoke it, you are sort of doing the same process that you would undergo in the lab to create Delta 8 from Delta 9. I think I said Delta 8 the first time. When you take THC cannabis and smoke it to get high, you're effectively doing the same type of process that would take place in a lab where they convert Delta 9 into Delta 8 for other reasons.
Well, again, it's a combination of certain things of heat and pressure, really. That's the easiest way to simplify it. Think different ratios of heat and pressure, different amounts and different timelines, and what they call residency times, which is the exposure to those conditions, can impact the way that a molecule will change.
Gotcha.
Now, what they're doing with CBD to Delta 8 is not dissimilar from a high level perspective, but it is a lot more involved.
Okay.
You know, you're not going to be able to, where you could take Delta 9 and turn it into Delta 8, or, you know, THCA and turn it into Delta 9, you know, kind of at home in a very, very basic setup, to really get pure CBD into a very pure slice of Delta 8 is a little bit more involved. It's a little bit more, expertise driven, I would say. There's a little bit of an art to it, honestly. You know, it is chemistry, but they're you know, we learned anything from Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
The last 0.3%, it's where all the magic is.
Right. So the idea here is to basically take plants that would normally create high levels of CBD because they're cheaper than plants that would create high levels of THC and create a different THC. Is the experience different? Does it get you high?
It definitely gets you high.
Okay.
I have some firsthand experience using Delta 8, and I got to say it was very pleasant.
Okay.
You know, I was actually asked by a producer of CBD who's making it into Delta 8, you know, was interested in us manufacturing products, and firsthand says, whoa, you know, let me look into the legality here because this is
right.
An interesting one. But we played around with the material and made some ingestible products with it. We made some gummies, actually. We do a lot of gummy production using regular Delta 9. And I got to say, the experience was really pleasant. You know, maybe a little bit tempered of a potency.
Okay.
Even at the same dosage rate, it didn't seem. And granted, it's a limited experience. So it's by no means a clinical trial here.
Sure. Neither of us are we're playing scientists on the internet. We're not actual scientists.
Exactly. Play one on TV.
Yeah.
But for me, it was maybe a little bit more mellow, a little bit. Less imposing upon my general sense of being, and it, very relaxing. You know, I myself and my partner use gummies every night for sleep, and just when we have the dosage dialed in, really, really love it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you do a little too much and you're
right.
A little groggy the next day, or not enough, and then you don't really get the impact. This one was kind of a shot in the dark of dosage. And, you know, the effect was really, really nice. And my partner's not, you know, a heavy user, and her experience was really, really great. You know, it wasn't an overwhelming thing. And that was, I think, a 10 milligram dose that we each tried.
Okay. But very similar to what you would get from 10 milligrams of, say, a gummy of THC. But maybe is it a head and body high feeling? You said it's tempered a little bit. Can you go into that?
Yeah, I can. And I want to caveat it with that, you know, one of my biggest, you know, soapboxes that I stand on is that cannabis, CBD, hemp, THC, whatever it is, it's so personalized. So
yes.
The way it
Without
is for
doubt.
Me may
Without
be completely different for those out there listening. And to me, that process of discovering for yourself is kind of as important as that end result, because
right.
it's changing that paradigm of like figuring out your being, your health, your body, and the way it reacts to these different inputs.
I mean, even with CBD, we say start low and go slow. And that's, we repeat that all the time. So this would be the same of course, the same theory here. Start low, go slow, see how it makes you feel.
Yeah, and remember, it's still THC.
Yeah. Right?
So don't, you know, think just because it's coming from CBD that it's so vastly different. But, you know, I wouldn't describe it as a head effect for me. It was more, I would say more general relaxation. Like, you know, sometimes when you take a really great full spectrum CBD product, you can like actually observe a shift in your perception and all of that, but
definitely.
It's still not quite high.
Right. It feels more body driven almost.
Yeah. And more like kind of holistic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is more similar to that, but still with definitely like a psychoactive element to it. Like, oh yeah, I'm feeling, you know, an intoxicant here to some level.
Sure.
But not as like, sometimes as overt as Delta 9 THC can be, if that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes THC just comes to you like, oh, and now I'm high.
Right.
And this was more kind of like, oh yeah, you know, I'm high, but not too high and very relaxed and just a great sense of well-being, I would say.
Do you know, I mean, speaking on like a chemical level, does it affect the body the same way that THC would?
You know, in most ways, the way that it binds with the different, you know, CB1 receptors, I would say that I would speculate that it is very similar. That being said, there's not a lot of data out
right.
There's not a lot on cannabis in general, but Delta 8 specifically, there hasn't been access to any volume of it to even observe anecdotally what it's doing to people up until really recently. So it's a little bit of uncharted territories, but if we know anything about the broad spectrum of cannabinoids that do exist, is they all, you know, kind of slot into their own unique place, depending on you as a person individually,
sure.
But you know, they all kind of have their role, and we're slowly but surely, you know, discovering more and more what part each of them has to play.
So Moxie, are you guys, you're in the Delta 8 THC game?
We're not in the Delta 8 world. We've been exploring it with a couple people. You know, I think we always err on a pretty extreme conservative side of legal interpretation.
I think you have to, right? I mean, that's just safe.
Yeah, well, and we're a licensed THC manufacturer and cultivator in a number of different states. So sometimes, even like in California, for instance, as a THC operator, ironically, we're not allowed to process hemp.
Right.
Now, it seems pretty silly, but that's just the way, and it is silly, but that's the way that the regulations were drafted.
Yeah. Well, it's completely different, though. What are you talking about? It's completely different.
Yeah, it doesn't even look at all the same.
No, or smell the same either, you know? So
no, you know, I always try to bring it back to for people that are really trying to understand, like, that there's not really a difference in the plant here. There's different versions of it that grow different ways and have different chemical expressions of their contents, but it's all the same cannabis plant. And it really just is incredible the broad appeal and application that it has, and there's still so much left to discover.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I mean, that's what the show is all about. One thing I want to ask, do you foresee any trouble? It seems like one of the main things that the CBD and the hemp market has tried to push forward is, we are not marijuana. We don't get you high. That's not what we do. And that is why you don't have to worry about it. This is a treatment for anxiety. This is a treatment for sleep disorders. This is, you know, or just whole body wellness or whatever, but it's not marijuana. It's not marijuana. It's not marijuana. Oh, by the way, now we can get you high. Do you see any problem there? Like, it makes me really nervous, honestly. And again,
we're
very green friendly on the show, and I'm very green friendly. So all of it. But at the same time, while we're trying to convince the FDA, while we're trying to convince states like South Dakota and Nebraska, who are super hardcore about this stuff, do you foresee any trouble here?
I can't imagine there won't be at least some. I mean, it's a pretty harsh reversal, particularly when you think about, like, say, Kentucky, right? You know, that's Mitch McConnell's backyard, and he's been a big proponent of hemp, but a staunch opponent of cannabis.
Right.
And to think that, you know, where he advocated for his community to have a new driver of economics and even some level of health benefit, that all of a sudden now that's going to backdoor into the intoxicant world. I can't imagine that that's going to be something that really excites him or others like him.
I think this is worrisome, quite honestly. And maybe I'm just being a pessimist, but I'm afraid it could set back some, like, just other, you know, CBD purveyors and CBG purveyors and people that are pushing to get that, you know, more mainstream and come into food and beverage and other things. I'm afraid that this could, something like this could scare the FDA. and have them back off and say, all right, before we legalize, or I mean, it's legal, of course, but before we say, here's your regulations and here's how we want it done, we need to make sure this never happens. This doesn't happen. So we're scrapping everything and starting over. Does that scare you?
Yeah, a little bit. And you know, it kind of opens the can of worms of like, well, what else can they make? For
right.
This,
exactly. Know? Next thing you know, they're going to be making PCP out of it and, you know, and feeding it to Antifa or whatever, you know.
And, you know, too, it's interesting because at the end of the day, they're trying so hard to control something that is really vastly uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And up till this point, I think the hemp industry did a pretty good job of like drawing a very clear box around it of what it was and what it wasn't. And this is a really harsh 180.
That's what it seems so like.
I can't imagine it's not going to come with some trials and tribulations. And moreover, I think the consumers are confused. You
right.
know, I think people are looking at it like, oh, it's a derivative of CBD and it's legal, so it's not going to get me high in the same way. And then you have people that dose too much and it can scare them off altogether, which is one of the biggest challenges with THC is when people dose too much and then they never want to go back to it.
Yeah.
But the reality is they could get a lot of good from it if they just, you know, find that balance. For
right.
themselves.
Learn how to use it. I will say, as someone who is very aware of the laws and knows a lot about this from just doing this show, when I opened a box of Delta 8 THC that was sent to me, I didn't know what I was getting. They said, we're going to send you a bunch of CBD stuff that we have. And that was one of them. And I took it out and I said out loud, is it legal to send this through the mail? I didn't know. And I'm still not real sure. And I guess we're just going to have to wait and see where this goes. Speaking from your company standpoint, at what point would a company like Moxie feel safe and feel cool going into this? Like, what are you looking for to happen first?
You know, I think for us to be able to receive Delta 8 in from a hemp producer, we'd need, you know, at the very least a strong level legal opinion.
Yeah.
But some clarity from, you know, the federal government on how the farm bill applies to this would be helpful, because there's the whole, that's just the first part, getting it in.
Right.
Then secondarily, we would need clearance from, you know, our state or local regulators to be able to process it.
Right.
Because, you know, as I mentioned, even with hemp, technically in California, you can't process it. In Nevada, however, we can. You just have to have a separate hemp handler certificate. So
good Lord.
It's a little, it would be a mixed bag, a little different all over, depending on what operation of ours we were talking about. But
right.
clarity in any regard would be helpful, I think.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, even if it's someone getting arrested. So we go, oh, okay, there. It's okay. So now we have to be careful. Got it.
And where they need the most, you know, guidance is at the law enforcement level, because I mean, imagine the poor, you know, beat cop that has no idea the difference in the visual component.
Absolutely.
It's oil, you know, it looks just like the CBD, looks just like the THC.
Right. I mean, so, right now, if you're like, oh, look, no, these joints that I have on me, these are CBD joints. That's all they are. They're for my back pain or whatever. And they're completely legal. It's hard enough for a cop to look at that and go, okay, I'm going to take your word for it. Now, when you pull out a package that says THC on it and go, no, this is cool. It's not that THC. It's,
you know, where it gets interesting too is, you know, and I'm not sure how it works, but like, you know, the field tests that they have, which are notorious for false positives for one, but also will this trigger a regular THC field, you know, field test? And does that mean that you'll have someone that might, you know, have issues of driving under the influence charges based on the way that one of these tests
Absolutely.
Pops up? And so,
or if you're drug tested,
it's got to get addressed quickly.
If you're drug tested at work, is this going to come up as THC on your drug test? Is it going to come up as?
I've heard that it doesn't.
Really?
I can't validate that, but that's what I've been told, is that in fact it does not trigger in a regular drug test, like through urine analysis. But,
interesting.
I'm not sure. It's early days.
Yeah. We'll have to look into it. I just feel like we've got a real sticky wicket here with this one. And I don't mean to sound prude and I don't mean to sound pessimistic, but it just seems like we really, and when I say we, I mean the larger cannabis space, really needs to be careful. Just with the amount of work that they have done saying, we're hemp, we're not marijuana, we're hemp, we're not marijuana. And now, oh yeah, but we can also do something kind of like marijuana. So keep them on the down.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I don't want to, you know, make the caution of the unclear, you know, deter people from even pushing the issue. on an advocacy side, because where things get really interesting as we do evolve our understanding of the cannabinoids, you know, that exist at large, is that various ratios of them together, you know, that affect the entourage effect in different capacities. It's still such a huge amount of discovery that we have left to do, and getting access to large amounts of pure, you know, molecules like this is critical in that development and understanding of how things work, and then ultimately in the formulation of combinatorial treatments. So, you know, on one hand, we need to figure out what it is and how we're going to deal with it now from a legal and, you know, marketing and other perspectives. But on the flip, now we've got access to something that we didn't before at scale and inexpensively. And that opens up a whole slew of opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely cool, and we'll see where it goes. And I think it sounds like you guys are being very level headed about this, and you're playing it safe for now because you have to. So we want to advocate and we want to push, but at the same time, we got to play the stupid governmental game, unfortunately. And that, and even that will be better for everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's a process, right? Like, you know, I think our industry, because we come from being, you know, the misfits by nature, you know, those willing to stand up in the face of adversity for what's right or what we believe is okay for ourselves as individuals and our capacity as adults. But I got to say too, you know, having, you know, I'm 31, I've been in the business for about 13 years, which is a lifetime in this industry.
Yeah.
And going into it, I was probably the pessimistic, you know, young adult that didn't really believe in the system and, you know, fighting the good fight. And, you know, 13 years later, I can say I've been able to affect some real change by just getting out there and having conversations like this with the stakeholders who have pen to paper.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it just don't be jaded at the end of the day. If there's something there and it can be done safely, you just have to stick to your guns. You have to stand up in the face of adversity and advocate for what's right. And, you know, these natural therapies that are safe, despite even some level of intoxication when, you know, using a small subset of them, can have absolutely life-changing impacts for people. So, you know, we got a little bit of a road, you know, ahead to deal with this one specifically, because I think it came fairly unexpectedly.
Yeah. Seems like this year, I feel like this just popped up in the last 6 months.
You know, nothing forces ingenuity like necessity, right?
And I think
with COVID and the crazy turbulence that our industry and the world has gone through this year, it's caused some very unique thinking to surface. And this is one of those really intriguing, you know, new opportunities.
Yeah. I want to send a huge thanks to Jordan for coming on and doing such a wonderful job explaining all about what is Delta 8 THC. We'll have links to Moxie in the show notes if you want to check that out, and more information about Jordan too. But now, let's get into it. It's been a little while since I've taken the Delta 8 THC, and I'm still here. I have to say, I don't feel impaired. I have some experience, I mean, with marijuana, I'm not going to lie. This is a green-friendly household I live in. And this is a different kind of high. I definitely feel high. It's there. But it is more of a body high, kind of what Jordan explained. I feel very relaxed, very at ease, not so much clouded in my head. I might not take something like this and drive just to be safe, but I also don't feel drunk or lightheaded or dizzy, any of the things that someone who doesn't experiment with THC very often can have happen when they try an edible, for example. The Delta 8 THC that I took was a tincture. I'm not going to name the company, but it was a flavored tincture, and you take it much like you would take CBD. I put it under my tongue for about a minute, let it sit. The suggested dosage on the bottle was 1 milliliter, which is, according to the label, is 11 milligrams of nano Delta 8 THC. And it also has 3 milligrams of nano Delta 9 THC, both of which we spoke about in our conversation. Now, maybe when I go back and I listen to this, I'm going to think, oh, wow, I sounded really funny, but I feel like I'm talking okay. I feel like I'm still parsing out this information as best as I normally do. I'm not going to say I'm an excellent podcaster, but I do the job. Now, normally, whenever you're trying new products, we always say to start low and go slow, which, of course, I did not, because I wanted to get a real feel for what happens when you take the suggested dose of. And I got to say, this isn't bad at all. I feel very relaxed. I have these sort of waves that are running through my body of relaxation that sort of start what feels like just below my neck, maybe. And they kind of carry down through your chest and through your hands. And it's really just kind of nice and a chill way to end the day, I guess. It seems like this hit a little slower than THC that you would smoke or vape. And it really gently just sort of rolls into it. Whereas sometimes if you're smoking or vaping, boom, you're just high. The same thing can happen with an edible that you take for the first time. You feel fine. Wham, you're way too high. That doesn't seem to be the case here. Now, again, I'm an experienced THC user, so that's why I went ahead with the 1 milliliter dose. But if you're going to try this, I would definitely start maybe at half a dose just to see how you react to it. My first experience reactions here, I got to say, this isn't bad at all, and I kind of enjoy it. So far, I'm giving my first experience with Delta 8 THC a thumbs up. Is it good for the market? Is it going to give CBD a bad name? Well, that all remains to be seen, I guess. That brings us to the end of this episode of Matt Does New Drugs on the Internet. I hope you enjoyed it. And if my parents are listening, I'm not going to apologize. You know who I am. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking about pharmaceutical CBD, but specifically a co-crystal that has been used to make CBD more bioavailable, meaning easier for your body to absorb. I'll tell you all about it next week. And if it is what the people that I talk to says it is, then this co-crystal could blow the whole CBD market wide open. If you need more Ministry of Hemp news in your life before that, head over to our site, ministryofhemp.com, where we've got a fantastic article all about CBN. It's another new cannabinoid that's very hot that is being marketed as helping people sleep. We've got a whole article called CBN, What is Cannabinol, and Why is it getting so much attention? And you should also check out a show that I did a couple episodes ago with Ethan Carr from Slumber CBN, all about how it can help you sleep. Really cool stuff. And again, those will both be in the show notes. Speaking of show notes, here at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is better for everyone, so we have a full written transcript of this show in the notes as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and check out our Instagram, because we've got another giveaway coming up real soon here, and I think they're going to let me announce the winner on the show, which is cool. Makes me feel special, right? And if you really want to help us out, please rate this show wherever you're getting your podcast from. Give us a star or even a little written review, because it helps move us up in the search algorithm and get this show in front of people that are looking for hemp news and information about things like CBD, CBN, and Delta 8 THC even. But if you really want to make a difference, head over to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. It gets you access to podcast extras, to early news articles, to articles and information that we don't even put on the site. But most importantly, it makes you a hemp crusader, helping us to spread the good word of hemp and how it can change the world. All right, that's it. For now, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is a slightly stoned Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.